I look limber?
You look limber.
Thanks.
Is that a compliment?
I think so. I've heard lots of things since I've started practicing, people say.
Oh, like what?
The top of your butt looks smaller.
Who the hell said that? Never mind.
You look toned, you look fit, you look, because I really haven't, there's been no weight loss with it, so.
So you must be toning then.
I'm just toning all the things. So yeah, it was a yoga retreat on, it was based around breathing, really, more than anything.
As I've told you, when I try to breathe in conjunction with yoga, I fall asleep. And as you so delicately put out on one of these podcasts, I'm clumsy and I fall over.
I know, and you know what? And that is, I would like to make amends. And
No!
Now I'm going to, because I feel bad about that. So I'm not making amends for you. That's true. You know what? It was a train of thought.
So you don't feel bad about saying it. You feel bad.
I do feel bad about saying it. I feel bad for me that I feel bad. That's why I need to make amends with you.
I'm so confused.
No, I'm not. No. It's all the truth. It's all the truth. When you feel bad about.
To make amends, part of the 12-step program when you make amends is not so much telling other people that you're sorry for them, you're saying you're sorry for you. I guess that's true.
When do you ever say sorry for someone else? If you said something awful to someone and it didn't affect your day, would you want to say I'm sorry?
What if it affected their day?
How would you know if it affected their day?
What if you said something to somebody and they burst into tears?
And then you'd feel bad because they burst into tears. This is making me uncomfortable. You might not feel bad, but you're like, fuck, this person's crying. I better say something. Isn't that true?
I guess.
We are the most selfish creatures ever. Ever.
Well, now that's
ever.
True. Ever invented. Yeah.
Ever.
That's true.
Ever. Us and flies. I hate flies.
Boy, they will just land anywhere they want. They don't give a damn.
No concept of personal space.
And they're quick, too. Unless they're, you know, you get them at that time of year.
And you can get them Mr. Miyagi. I mean, is that what happened? Was that in that movie? They were washing cars and killing flies.
He caught a chopstick with a...
there you go, chopstick.
He caught a fly with his set of chopsticks.
I could catch some, like, chicken fried rice with some chopsticks right now. I'm hungry.
What did I have? Oh, we had bacon party today.
You did?
This is a rare Sunday recording. It's a different feel.
It is. It's like church.
Take me to church, I'll worship.
No?
I don't like that song.
It's weird. So, you know how kids hear songs.
Does he have a rock ever?
Huh?
Hoser? Does he have a rock?
Hosier?
Whatever.
Hosier?
Does he rock?
Hose?
Hosiery?
The hose? The hoseman?
Remember
the hoster?
What did I say one time? I said, why do women wear hose? And you go, hose?
Who calls them hose?
Who calls them hose? Hose are prostitutes.
Hose are stockings.
What do you say, nylons?
I say pantyhose. Actually, I probably say pantyhose.
Pantyhose.
I don't know. Who wears pantyhose except for, like, you know, the prince's wife. They said she brings pantyhose.
Yes.
She's bringing pantyhose back.
She's pretty.
Oh, she's real pretty. She's real pretty. But do you feel like she has that tortured look in her eye, like her mother-in-law did? Like, fuck, get me out of here. I've been trying to make sure that when I say fuck, it's not the punchline. It's like, it's not the entree. It's a condiment to the entree.
It's not a noun, like you fuck.
No, you can use it however you want, but I'm just saying that whatever I'm saying, the context of what I'm saying is the French fries and the fuck is just the ketchup. Like the French fries are delicious, but gotta get a little ketchup. You know what I mean?
You're not just saying fuck to say fuck?
I know, but I like to say fuck to say fuck.
Fuck's a good word.
Is it though?
Yes. What would we, what?
Is
what?
It is it because you know you're not supposed to say it?
Well, I'm not supposed to say it on the air, certainly, but we're...
We're grown-ups. We can say fuck.
And we're all female.
Well done.
See, that's a better intro than the other one.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's right. You heard me. Hi, welcome back to the Off the Air Podcast. This is Bob Schneider. Have we gone through how to get this enough, you think?
Let's get out of here. If you don't, no.
Pledge Music. PledgeMusic.com/Bob Schneider, and you can get the whole King Kong shooting match.
See, I heard what you said, so I'm just like, I'm going to Google Pledge Music Bob Schneider, and then it'll come up, and then I'll be done.
Right. It's a Sunday recording. Welcome. We're going to run this like a church service.
Let's go.
She's in my left ear on the record. What ear is... Listen, she'll be in an ear.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Left, yeah. But I don't think it's different. So does that mean it would be on the left side of my car?
No, it might be on the right side of your car.
Really?
I think it sometimes it changes.
You're going to get nerdy with radio, aren't you?
I think I might, yeah. I don't know. I've forgotten more about stuff like that. I don't really... I should
You
pay
know
attention.
So much about so much.
I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, but it's weird because you like to pretend like you don't know.
Where was I? Oh, it was National Record Store Day yesterday.
Yesterday.
And I was having a great time.
Uh-huh.
Because I went down to see our friend Oreo Jones.
He's my favorite.
He was
of the Oreos.
Hosting Where are you on the Oreo flavors?
I like Oreo Jones. I mean, I've never tasted him. I guess that sounds weird.
Oreo peanut butter?
Oh no, traditional Oreo always. No, you know what? I can't cuz I like golden Oreos.
You like golden Oreos?
I like golden Oreos. And I think I like golden Oreos because I can buy them and bring them in the house and nobody else likes them.
Nobody else likes the golden Oreos?
No.
It, given a choice between golden and classic, I'll take classic.
You think so?
But if I don't have classic, I'll eat golden. But if I don't have classic or golden and I have mint chocolate chip wintergreen or whatever Oreos.
Who did that?
There's like...
I know, but where were you? Who are you hanging out with that they've got that shit around?
Well, if
Bodart, it was Bodart, wasn't it?
Let's say they have those. I will not eat those. I will wait until golden or classic show up.
Mm.
I'll put my Oreo wanting off.
Oreo supremacy.
Anyway, some guy, we put up a picture. I put up a picture. Lindquist took our picture of me and Oreo Jones. And I put
he
it
did?
Up on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't see it.
Yeah. some guy thought. He was doing it as a joke, I hope, but he thought Oreo was me.
Was your son? Oh.
And he didn't know who I was.
What?
So that's what I think he was shooting for a joke, and it kind of all backfired on him. But
Well, you know, when my brother lived with me and somebody came to the house to do something, and they started talking to my brother like he was you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And he was like, what? He was like, no, it's so what do you do all day? What do you do after 10:30?
What time are you going to the show?
Yeah, and my brother's
is
like,
is Tom really an asshole? What's going on?
And my brother's like, what? And I was like, how out of, like, I don't, I mean.
How out of it?
Yeah. I mean, like, I wanted to go, okay, two things. Did you just move here? Like, did you not know? Or, you know, I guess I don't know. I think it's weird.
No, I would think at least if you. This was some guy in a service industry, right?
Yeah.
Heating and air conditioning or something like that.
I think it was not heating and air conditioning.
Okay. But you'd at least have some idea of what age I am, right?
I don't know.
Seeing Josh?
I would assume, yeah.
Josh is 30?
My brother's 30.
He's
31. He's 31.
He's 32.
He's 31.
Because you'll be 34.
He's born in 84. He's 31.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not 31. I mean, I.
You look it. You really, really look it. See, maybe this is what I should do instead of making amends. I should just compliment you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
You look 30.
So anyway, we're at Record Store Day yesterday, and some guy tweeted me. What did I say? I put up the Einstein quote again about Albert Einstein said he thinks in music.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
He daydreams in music. If he wasn't a physicist, he would have been a musician. And then some jackass tweeted me back, and then... He created the atom bomb.
You thought that was funny or no?
No, I thought it was like, we're trying to, and I hashtag record store day 15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then I tweeted back to him. I said, well, actually, it wasn't Albert Einstein. It was Leo Szilard who came up with the idea for a
sustaining. Yeah, he messed around and said something to you about the atom bomb.
Nuclear action. And I know a lot about a lot of stuff, and especially the atom bomb. So so then Lindquist was asking me about the tweet. He goes, I had to Google who the hell Leo Szilard was. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I go, David, some things go in and never come out. You know that.
Yeah, but you have a weird fascination with it. No, you just have a fascination. It's not weird. It's you. Whatever. Be you. You do you.
Are you trying not to make amends in a future podcast?
No, I'm not. No, it's not that. It's just, it's not weird. Just because it's not mine doesn't make it weird. No?
I'm concerned you think I'm clumsy. Let's talk about that on the podcast.
I would like to say...
You don't think I'm clumsy?
I would like to say my opinion is that you're clumsy, but it's not an opinion. It's a fact.
It's an observance.
Yeah.
Now, would you say you're clumsy?
No.
Hmm. Now, are you basing this just on the only yoga class we took together?
Oh, no. In general, you're clumsy.
I did fall through a ceiling.
Yeah, but you know what? Now that I think about it, I think it's more
Twice. It's
more careless than it is clumsy. How's your balance? Can you stand on one leg?
Yeah, I think I could stand on one.
Let me see if you could stand on one leg.
I've done this before for a policeman.
Okay, we don't need to do that. Can you bring the bottom of your foot into your... Yeah, maybe right there. That's fine. Do you feel stable?
Wait a minute. Well, I did.
Until I said that. Yeah, that's not bad. You're not as clumsy as I thought you were. That's pretty basic stuff. I mean, there's a lot of people that can't do that.
What? You know that the
that must be your dominant leg. So do the other one now.
The bow and arrow.
Uh huh.
The bow and arrow that I did was that. I think that's when I fell over. Uh oh.
No.
Not as good on my left leg.
The bow and there's a bow and arrow pose.
Yeah, I remember you put your leg and then you go like this.
Okay,
like
that's a warrior.
Warrior, bow and arrow.
Warriors have bow and arrows.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, I fucked up my toe this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby has started doing this thing where she'll come into the house and check stuff out, and if I don't have a treat for her, she runs back out.
Oh, so you leave the door open?
So I go mess around acting like I have a treat. I really sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I don't come up with a treat. She right out the back door again. No treat. I'm out of here. So
maybe you should get her one of those things. You need to like exercise her brain. Get her one of those dog like.
Oh, she would love a treat ball.
Yeah, a treat ball. Oh no,
they do like this.
Oh, I don't know anything about those.
They rock back and forth and.
Oh, I've seen
when
those.
They go. They. Brought
I meant something electronic, like you could like a Simon Says type thing with their paw and the buttons, and then like the treat comes out. See if it works.
They do have a treat dispenser like that, I think, where you can hang it on the wall.
Yeah.
Boop. And I think that's a good boop. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm, sounds right.
So anyway.
Did you fall?
No, I know. I talk about my dogs too much, but I'm sorry. So She's on to me almost instantly that I don't have a treat for her. So she starts to run out the back door. I start to beat her to the back door to shut it, and I hit my big toe on the corner of the laundry room door and tore half the nail off of my big toe.
Yuck. Did you cuss?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I said, fuck.
You did? Where were you that you were running from the laundry room to the back door, the sliding door?
I was in the laundry room.
You'd had to make a turn.
Yeah, so I do this, and I go, and I tried to get past the door quickly, and this is the door.
Mm-hmm.
Wham! Right on the... But I go, and I give him...
You have a bell.
I got the bell. I got the treat bell. So that here she comes, immediately, sees no treat, right back...
You know what I do when I have to let your dogs out? I just hold the bell, and I keep tapping it so they don't jump on me. They just stay seated.
Does that work?
I don't know. It's something I've tried. I've tried holding treats out as far away from my body as I can so they won't jump on me.
I like that noise you make when when monkey jumps on you.
What do they say?
But
yeah,
it's
that's
better.
True. No. That's what I do. She doesn't. I don't think she understands what I'm saying.
That's it.
I said, get off me, dog.
Get, dog, get.
Get, dog, get. I had a dog named Get Dog.
I know.
Yep.
So go ahead. Ask me any question. We'll see how much I know.
About? Anything. Oh, about anything. Anything. Ooh, okay. Well, that's not helpful. Men's Journal. That looks good.
Men's
Let's see
journal.
If something
A journal is something that you, sometimes it's a newspaper. It's a gathering.
Hey, what's that big mountain that people climb and it's a big deal? What's that called?
Mount Everest.
Mount Everest.
Or K2.
No.
K2?
What's that?
K2 is actually...
No, you can't look it up.
It's
you can't look
the,
it up. You can't put your mouse down. Put your mouse down.
It's not the tallest mountain.
No, but it's the K2. One like people... Not,
K2
I don't
is
think
in
it's
the Himalayas.
Okay, this you're missing the point of the game.
Yes, it's just a little bit shorter than Mount Everest, but it, what are you talking... Isn't there a trail?
Isn't there a trail that people go up, like they plan for years?
Appalachian Trail?
Yeah, is that something that people do?
Yeah, hike the Appalachian Trail, yeah.
There's an advertisement for the Tudor watch, and that guy looks like he's climbing a mountain. That's what made me... That sparked that question. What's that game people play with the... I don't know, just trying. What's the game people play with the guy, and his name's not Sausage? It's...
Bacon?
Yeah.
Oh, 6 degrees of separation.
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon, yeah.
That's fun. See, you got that one, too.
I used to love that game. That game, I was possessed with that game.
Were you really?
Yeah. Because you can almost link anybody with 6 degrees.
Then link yourself to Kevin Bacon.
Me to Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
I've met Jeff Daniels. Pretty sure Jeff Daniels has met Kevin Bacon.
That's only 2 degrees.
Well, but you get
it can
up
be
to
six or less.
Six or less. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was a game.
You have to actually.
I feel like there should be some math in
have
there.
Have to actually have six.
Yeah.
A bobcat. I bet bobcats met Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah, but I feel like you're doing it wrong. Like it would be like.
Well, you said link me to Kevin Bacon. You didn't say link. The game is played link Kevin Bacon to Jerry Lewis.
Oh, is that the game?
Mm-hmm.
So if you... I don't want to play this game anymore. I don't feel like I know enough people. I'm going to take my Abate course tomorrow. It's been a big 6 days for me. Friday, I started my yoga retreat.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, yoga.
Uh-huh.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Abate.
Motorcycle, which explains why we're doing the podcast on a Sunday, because we're adhering to our New Year's resolution. Here it is, April.
But now it's Tuesdays and sometimes Wednesdays. Twice it's been a Wednesday. Maybe more. I don't know. I stopped paying attention because I'm afraid I'd get mad if it wasn't out on Tuesday.
You did really get mad that one time.
Yeah, because you let the people down.
I guess. So what do you learn at the Abate class? You learn how to ride your motorcycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think you get to jump stuff?
No, I don't think it's... I think
like
it's
Evel
I think
Knievel?
It's base,
is it
basic.
A stunt course?
I think it's actually basic riders.
Should be a stunt course.
Basic riders course. Very basic.
I rode a motorcycle twice in my life. First time I was a kid. Second time, it was your motorcycle, and I almost hit the neighbor's mailbox.
True story.
I am clumsy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of myself as clumsy.
I went to the Sinking Ship last night. For Chili Mac.
That's a lovely tavern here in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
Go there often.
I like the Chili Mac. It's macaroni and cheese. Cheesy, cheesy, good macaroni and cheese.
They have different...
With a scoop of chili on top. Nah.
They have different appetizers that you don't get everywhere else. They're very good. Even their tater tots are different. They're star-shaped.
Star tots. But there was a BMW, an old BMW motorcycle with a sidecar. And I was like, I want a sidecar.
Do you run out to your truck and get your socket set and...
No, I didn't try to steal it.
Unattached the sidecar to go home?
Yeah. No, I didn't.
Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I know the answer to this.
You know that
remember.
I've stolen things. I didn't. It was... You make me feel bad about it.
Well, it was... I know it was 7 years ago or more, so...
Yeah, but I still feel bad. What if that was somebody's for real?
That coat?
Yeah.
It's a great coat.
It was in a closet. I don't even know if I knew what city it was in, I would say and I would if I could remember what city it was in, but it was an old raincoat.
You were on a roll that you got all excited about taking things from the backstage area when we would do comedy shows.
And they just progressively got bigger.
And it got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't...
It was like kind of like little souvenirs.
You know, though, but the only... The biggest thing I can remember you taking are some folding chairs.
Folding chairs. I like those folding chairs.
And you still have those?
I do still have them.
Great folding chair. And you still have the coat, and you're using
the I know
the
where
boat.
Those are from, though.
You know where the folding chairs are from?
Uh-huh. I think it's stenciled maybe on the back of the folding chairs.
Why do I feel like I'm going to have to drive them back to wherever you took them from?
We might have to. They're from Purdue.
Oh, not Purdue.
Yeah, they're from Purdue. Mm-hmm.
Not the only thing that was stolen that night.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Hello, Sunday. Religion. Let's talk about religion. It's a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You're Catholic, right?
Well.
Right down to your socks.
Yeah. No. I think they call that a cradle Catholic, and I am not a cradle Catholic.
Did you take the course?
Yeah, I took the course.
Kids are Catholic.
RCIA. They were baptized Catholic. They've been through First Communion.
Maybe this is a dangerous topic.
It's not dangerous. I don't think it's dangerous. I think it's...
About what I'm about to say might be dangerous.
Okay, go ahead.
I was a Methodist because my mother made me go to church and made me bring a bulletin home. And I'm really mad about it. Not that she made me go. Is that I went and got a bulletin and didn't leave with it and just walk around and go home. I stayed for the service, didn't think it through, that I could have just stolen the bulletin and zipped home.
You could have.
But I met some nice people in church.
You met some nice people
in
church.
But because of my mother, it was lumped in with someone's making me do this.
Do you remember any of the sermons?
No, it all gets down to one basic thing, you know, love and be nice to other people.
Is it though?
Yeah. What else would it be?
See, I don't have that experience in church.
Well, you've come from your formative years were a charismatic church.
No, it's definitely not charismatic.
Well, no, but charismatic, I mean, they were singing and dancing. And
no.
They didn't sing and dance? I thought they did.
They sang. They sang, but that was...
Tambourine? Or was there a band?
Mm-mm.
Oh, really?
Maybe in Oregon. Oregon? Maybe there was a state there. I'm not sure.
You think there's a place in Oregon that makes organs?
I don't know.
Oregon. Oregon, Oregon.
Now there
you?
Was a. Is that
that's
an organ?
Funny. Oregon, Oregon. Can I help you? We need a pipe organ. Yeah, that's an organ.
Organ
looks like a piano.
That's probably just a piano. Now that I think about it, it had red carpet.
A lot of.
I wonder if that church is still there.
A lot of punishment when you do wrong. God will punish you.
God is a punishing God.
God is a punishing God.
God is not a loving God.
No.
No. You fuck up. You're going to. You're going straight.
Well, you
got to
tell the kids that. You got to tell the kids that, or they'll go. They'll willy nilly.
I remember that I didn't say goddamn until I was an adult.
I've only recently stopped saying that, and I don't know why. And I notice it when other people say it.
Yeah, you do, because you say stuff to me all the time. My mom's always been a stickler about goddamn, and she can make a sailor blush. Like she is. She taught me how to string together some pretty, pretty.
What is it? My father worked
curse in words,
profanities like a great artist. There's a tapestry of his profanities hanging over Lake Erie. Right?
That's funny.
Yeah.
I
guess Gene Shepherd.
Okay. No, people. Yeah, I still, but I didn't say it for the longest time in fear, like, oh. Well, you know, God's probably got that Rolodex of things I've done. And
I worked with a guy.
If we had goddamn in there, then I'd definitely go to hell.
I worked with a guy in this building.
Yeah.
He doesn't work here anymore. I don't know where he is. He's a nice guy. We used to go to Pacer games together.
Yeah.
When Steve Stepanovich was the best player they had. And one of the first things he talked to me about was attending his Bible study. And I said, thank you, but no thanks.
Were you still friends?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in management. And
so what happened? Did you look at him differently?
No, I didn't. My point, I was going somewhere with it. He was a stickler about
goddamn.
And he told me something that stuck with me, and I don't know why it has, but and I'm not saying it works, or I'm not saying, but I stopped doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll understand once I explain
okay.
it, I hope.
Yep.
He said, I said, oh man, I feel horrible. I'm getting a cold. Hey! Don't confess it. And I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, if you confess something, it's going to happen. I'm like.
Did he mean that in the religious sense?
I think so. Like if you say, I'm going to get in a car wreck later, you'll get in a car wreck if you confess it. I don't know. I don't know what that's based on. It sounds
interesting.
Very, isn't it? It sounds
because
very...
in my brain, I have to say it. I have to think it. That way it won't happen.
Oh, sure.
At the total opposite.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow.
But the example that sticks with me is colds. That's the only thing.
Colds?
Colds.
Don't say it out loud.
And I've gotten less colds. But.
But you are quick to tell somebody if you have a sore throat.
All I know is if you get sick, what do?
You keep it to yourself.
You keep it to your fucking self.
Mm-hmm.
I found out later, though, that you get less colds when you get older is because there are millions, billions, trillions cold different kinds of colds.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, you start getting all these colds. And once you get that cold, your system builds up an immunity. So you can't get that cold again. So the older you get, ergo, the less colds you're going to get because
your body's immune to the other colds. Some of them. So when you have a cold and you take an antibiotic...
That kind of, yeah, you're right on that, yeah.
What does that do?
Well, yeah, you can't.
It kind of scratches your...
There's still nothing you can do for a cold.
Mm.
They don't have a specific...
I did not know that about the colds. There's so many different kinds of colds.
I might have fell asleep in that year in med school, maybe.
Right.
I don't remember that part of the cold, but...
Hmm.
So what do you mean you don't know if you're Catholic or not?
I know. I mean, I'm...
Or do you want to talk about it?
I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it.
You know me. I'm headed toward Buddha.
I don't know.
Quick, fast, and in a hurry.
It's not... I haven't had a relationship with God. Well, I haven't had a healthy. I haven't had a good. I haven't had a positive. I haven't had anything that I've wanted to build on.
For
a long time. I mean, I'm angry.
Yeah.
Angry.
Oh, yeah.
Angry with God.
The imprinting that you went
experienced.
Through when you were... Yeah, that is...
imprinting.
Punishing God, kneeling, realizing the pattern on the carpeting you were kneeling for so long. That's... brainwashing shit is what that is.
It is, and it's... It would probably be helpful if I actually not just talked about it on the podcast, but talked to somebody else about it. I'm angry because...
Big Doc wants to talk about it.
Yeah. I'm angry because all these other people are talking about this other God and they're thanking him. What do you got to thank him for? What do you do? Like, what do you do? Oh, he's, you know, thank God. Bless God. Or God bless me. God bless you. You bless you. What do you need him for? Like, why? What's the big deal with this guy? Oh, well, this happened, and I knew God was there, I heard God's voice. He told me that this is what. Well,
God's never done anything for you, as far as you know.
Not that I'm not going to say that because leading up to recently. I have felt that way, and I don't want to say that he hasn't done anything for me, but why haven't I had that experience? Why hasn't he confirmed, yeah, I'm here, I got your back? Like, why don't I get that experience? So since I haven't had that experience, I kind of think these people are full of shit. And so all of these people that love God are making shit up, in my opinion. So what if it's... Which makes me not like him. Like, you have this following. You have this... It's like a Dave Matthews fan. Like, why are you guys doing this? Why are you guys making this guy such a big deal? You know? Like, I feel like you're making him better than he actually is.
They were all... The listeners are going to give you a pass on your remarks about God, but I don't know if they're going to give you a pass on Dave Matthews.
I know. No, this is my experience. I am not by any means... I am not saying this with disrespect. I am saying this as my experience.
You're having a crisis
That's
of
all.
Faith. You've been having it for
I've
a
been
long
having
time.
A crisis of faith
forever.
Since forever. Since as long as I've known. But
well,
I feel...
I think the religious will tell you that. He's never stronger than when you need him...
Right, the whole
least or something
the
like that.
Feet yeah. in the sand shit. Yes, I know. Yes. Yeah. But I don't mean that. It's like the conversation, like it's like
go ahead.
I don't know. I know that that means something to someone, and I recognize that that is a possibility when I need. I don't even want to say God. I don't want to say God because in my brain.
Well, you don't have to.
God is a man with a white beard and, you know, one of those shepherd hooks, or maybe those were the other guys that carried
trident.
The hooks.
How about a trident? Like Ariel's
dad. Ariel's
dad.
Yeah. That's probably. You know what? That's probably
he
true.
He looks kind. Yeah.
He looks very godlike.
He's God of the sea.
Right. But that was that kind of myth. That was mythological, right?
Yeah,
kind of
Roman and Greek myth.
Right.
Yeah. What's now?
Zeus.
What's,
Wasn't he the big guy?
He was the big god, and then there was Neptune.
Neptune, he did the sea.
I wanted to say Nemo, but that's Captain Nemo.
The ocean
Nemo,
was his
and that's
jam.
A fish. There's Captain Nemo and a fish. You know, Disney Neptune? Cashed in on Nemo twice. With 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea was Captain Nemo, and Nemo the fish was
Disney
Nemo.
Did 20 Leagues Under the 20,000?
Yeah, James Mason, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
They did a movie?
Uh-huh. Didn't you ever ride 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? Maybe they stopped it.
I didn't go to Disney until I was 29.
Yeah, maybe they stopped that.
Yeah, I can think that's over.
No, you were younger. Well, 27, 26, 27.
I don't know how old I was.
Okay, fine. My point is in all this, you're entitled to your opinion.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is that I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody's religion at all. And if I come across disrespectful, I'm more envious. I'm envious of it.
You're
I'm not even envious of
jealous.
It. I'm jealous because I
yeah.
want that.
Sure.
I want that.
You want that
that
comfort that comes from someone
yeah.
said,
mm-hmm.
this is how Jesus helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't had that experience. But I also think that my negative feelings towards religion or towards God are associated with the people that were in the church when I was going there, because I found out a lot of horrible things about him later on in life.
It was almost the classic case of...
Oh, yeah, everything terrible.
Holiest, mm-hmm. The holiest person who spoke the loudest was the biggest defiler, if
yes.
you will.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a game changer.
Well, I don't... Who's the comedian who says...
But that's what bothers me is that that's the thing I was going to say. So I never went to church with my parents. My dad, I remember taking us to church when my parents were married. My dad would take us to a church in Greenwood occasionally. I remember that. My mom never went to church. And then when my parents got divorced, my dad never went to church. And if we went to church, we went to church with... my Aunt Rosie. We did that a lot. And then I went to church in middle school with a girlfriend of mine whose father was a preacher. It was more of a social thing. Like everybody just kind of wanted to hang out on Wednesday night. So mm-hmm. her family would take everybody to church.
MYF, Methodist Youth Foundation.
Is that what that is?
Oh, in the basement.
Mm.
Trying to get a girl to kiss me.
My Aunt Susie would take, when I'd spend the night with my Aunt Susie, she'd take me to church. That was my first experience with the Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened throughout my life.
But I mean, there's no.
And then it wasn't until, and I mean, after that, I didn't go to church in high school. I didn't go to church.
I hope people will respect my opinion. And this is our podcast. And we're saying things that we feel. Just like we will respect you if you disagree with us. But if you tweet, up your nose with a rubber hose or something like that, that's not cool, right?
Oh, I don't. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast for guidance in religion, then I don't really have much to say to you anyway.
True.
So
that's well, but
if this podcast is going to be the podcast that makes you not listen anymore, then that's okay too.
So be it. I was going to say that certainly the Catholic Church has had their problems with
sure.
people in
mm-hmm.
charge of the church.
Mm-hmm.
But
Oh, no, that's not isolated to faith. I mean, that's not isolated
to... And it's not isolated to Catholic Church.
Yeah, to different religions.
Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran.
Wesleyan.
Presbyterian.
Pilgrim Holiness.
Whatever you want to say, everybody...
Yeah.
From an intellectual standpoint, I find it very hard to believe that Ariel's father is hanging in the sky, overlooking, like Jim Carrey and Bruce Almighty, hearing all of our prayers. I find that very hard to believe.
Yeah, but I think I could get on board with...
Jim Carrey being God?
No.
Oh.
Who's really God? He's not... Jim Carrey's not God. Is Jim Carrey God?
Jim Carrey's God there for a little bit. No,
Morgan Freeman. That's who I should picture as God.
Morgan Freeman lets Jim Carrey do it for a little bit.
Right.
And he understands how...
Wow. What if I think of it that way? Then that'll change stuff. Or Alanis Morissette. Remember?
Oh, she's my favorite God.
Yeah, you know. She's God in...
Dogma.
Dogma.
One of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Everything I keep reading, though, about Eastern Buddhists and that, it really... I told Spangle this Friday night, we were talking about the libertarians and Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Kramer line. This Buddhist thing scratches me where I itch.
Yeah.
You know, the way is not in the sky, the way is in your heart. Today is a new day. What matters today? What you do today is what matters.
Just being present.
It's just being present, being in the now, and realizing...
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be incredibly negative, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing all hearts are broken, all lives end. Caring is not an option. It's not a viable option.
You feel that way.
I feel that way.
Okay, well, I feel like you kind of just went rogue on Buddha.
I think but that to me says you should be in charge of yourself.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
I mean, you see these, now everybody's making t-shirts and stuff about it, like, love is my religion.
Well, do you know how long, I rolled through life, I didn't make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever was around me made me happy. They were in charge of making me happy. Mm-hmm. How fucked up is that?
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Mm-hmm. But that's the thing is that there's stages of your life, you know, like you can't be mad about it.
Right.
Like this is where you are.
Just be glad that I'm out of that. And.
Right. But I think when it comes down to it, what it comes down to is.
This is what it comes down to.
This is what I'm saying is what it comes down to is this is what it comes down to.
Okay.
Is not fearing death.
Well, then that gets back to the seven phases of death. And I...
But you start those phases before you physically die.
Okay, I am...
Don't you think?
I am so not being Chick McGee right now, but I always...
Oh, please don't do that.
I always had this idea, and this was like 20 years ago.
Don't tell your play idea.
Oh, I know. They won't have that. No one gets my play idea.
Okay, good.
No, this is the when I had to go in for open heart surgery. And during the process of my open heart surgery, I foolishly, and this was in 1995. Some people listening to this podcast might do some date. Anyway.
1995.
I'm in the hospital.
June, July, 1995.
I'm 39 years old, and they've told me that two of my arteries, I had just taken my daughter.
This was winter, right?
Winter. Okay. This is winter. I had just taken Ellie. She was, oh my God, she was three?
Yeah,
three
that's or four, crazy.
And she was on a sled at my friend's house, then friend's house. And I'm out in the hill being a dad in the parka. She falls off the sled. I pick her up. Carrying her in the ice and snow. I'm 39 years old.
39.
I'm overweight, but not grotesquely. Okay, maybe grotesquely.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
You were big then?
I was over 3 bills, probably.
No, she is?
So I'm going into the house, and I get into the house, and I tell my friend, I go, I'm having a heart attack.
Ha, ha, ha.
So it happens again. I get on a treadmill just to see, and in the back of my mind, I think...
Do you think you honestly knew in that moment when you walked into the house?
Because
that you
were this is what my father died of, and I was always, it had it in the back of my mind. I needed to keep track of it, and it was classic. Classic angina with exertion, and then it would go away with rest. And so I went into the hospital, and when you get to the hospital for this, they, my cardiologist said, oh, well, you've got one artery's 99% blocked, the other artery's 95% blocked. And he looks at me and goes, it would have just been like turning off the light switch. There would have been no bringing you back. I go, oh, okay. He goes, well, tomorrow we're going to open up your chest.
Right.
But keep in mind, this is 95. They don't do it this way now, I don't think. But they put you on the heart-lung machine.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said heart-lung machine, it was like a big echo. So I thought about it. And you know me, I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And I was terrified at about 11:30 midnight.
The night before your surgery.
They were taking me in at 6 to do all this. So I foolishly... expected, hoped that someone would be with me that night before I would go into.
Mm-hmm. Are you married at this time?
I'm married at this time.
Okay.
And that wasn't the case. That person said, you should probably just grow a set and good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I started thinking, because I was at least 50% sure I was going to die the next morning.
You thought so, really?
Oh, yeah. So I started going through that. There must be something that happens when you get close to death, or hospice, cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There must be something that happens in your brain. And my thought was this. My simple thought was this.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it okay for you to die. There must be something that happens in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, it's called, I think, the 7 part of anger, denial, acceptance. But there's 5 or 6 other ones in there. This is the longer. The longer one is what I'm referring to. But I started to realize then, well, this is, what am I doing wrong? Why do I keep getting up to bat in these relationships and stuff like this happens?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck? And then, of course, the answer is, those people don't make you happy. You make yourself happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of... Why do I like to hang out with Oreo Jones? That man is happy.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out of his eyeballs. Mm-hmm. He's joyous,
mm-hmm.
almost joyous.
Mm-hmm.
He saw me yesterday, and it was like we'd grown up together. He's a good man,
mm-hmm.
but that's a hard place to get to.
But here's the thing: this is the most insane thing about unfortunate, insane, whatever you want to say, but. You've probably, I'd say a dozen times you've interacted with Oreo Jones.
Mm-hmm.
A dozen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because it's topical, because you were around him yesterday, but how many other people in your life can you say that about?
That they're joyous.
That they're happy people.
They're happy.
I mean, don't even say joyous, just generally a happy person.
Oh my God, I guess if I would sit down for him, but nothing jumps to mind like he does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know he's got problems and troubles and just like everybody, but...
So what do you think, what's his religion?
I don't know.
Yeah.
We should make him the deacon or whatever, what we're going to do.
Yeah.
The first church of what's happening now.
Yeah. My, when I was a little girl, I think I was 4. My paternal grandmother went in for open heart surgery. And in the week leading up to her surgery, she had her hair dyed, prepared things around the house, did some stuff. And when they got her to the hospital, all of her family was there the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, why not, right?
Why wouldn't you be?
Everybody visiting her and telling her they loved her and all these things. And my dad sat with her and sat with her and sat with her. And she said, you can go. You know, you have a family at home. You can go. It's fine. And my dad left. And I think that if I remember, my dad's sisters were there. My aunts, my Aunt Rosie, my Aunt Karen, and my Aunt Susie. They said, we'll see you in a little bit. You know, they hugged her, whatever, she went into surgery. And the nurse, you know, they tell you to count backwards or whatever when they roll you in there, right? Mm-hmm. And the nurse said, well, honey, we'll see you in a little bit. And my Nana said, "You'll see me, but I won't see you." And they opened her up, and in that moment, she had a massive heart attack on the table, and they were unable to revive her. They said that her arteries were mush. There was nothing to even work with. So I just wonder what her stages were, you know?
But, you know, and you know...
And how she was at peace with that, leaving five children and a husband behind. I mean, I understand. A part of me feels like... if I do believe in a God, it's from that story. Because of the things going on in her life that I learned about as an adult. And the struggles that she had. And who her husband really was.
And she still believed in God when she died.
And she never went to church. She did not go to church. She... I don't know. I really don't know what her religion was, but I know that her husband got up and went to church every Sunday morning and mm-hmm. every Sunday night mm-hmm. and every Wednesday, and there were revivals, and she didn't go one time. And the people at that church judged her.
Oh, sure. Nobody can judge like people who need to be judged. But that's not a.
So I don't know.
You hear that sort of story all the time. People know they're going to die. People.
Yeah, I have. I mean, I guess that's just the one that hits the most. I mean, that I'm the closest to, I guess.
See, this isn't what I'm looking for. This is the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief.
So I'm saying, like, so she says, "Hey, how long was it between the time that they said, 'Hey, you're going to have surgery,' and your surgery? When did that happen?"
I want to say Friday or Saturday was my pain, and then Monday I checked it again and I got pain, so I think they operated on a Tuesday.
I know, but when did you go to the doctor? When did you go to the doctor, call the doctor and say, "Hey, I have pain. I think I need to come in."
Monday. But you know what? You know, I knew. You're right. I knew. I've known every time. Like this most last time in August when mm-hmm. I had that stent placed. Mm-hmm. I knew.
You knew.
But it's... you start to after... because this is my fourth stent and...
Mm-hmm.
However many times I've been in there to check it out, mm-hmm. it does start to fake you out every now and then. But then I used to beat myself up about that, but, you know, I'd rather be...
No, you got to go. And now you know, you kind of have, like, you know, you kind of have a cycle now. You have a schedule. About every 4 years, you need to go have it checked, and more than likely, you're going to need a stent.
It's so true.
Yeah. But that's, at least you're aware of it, right? You know, and you know when to go.
I thought I did. I think I do. Yeah.
But here's my question. So, like I said, from the time you went to the doctor, the time you were operated on, I'm guessing a few days, maybe a week from the time that she found out she was going to have open heart surgery to the time she had open heart surgery. So say that's 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, however long it is. In that time, at what point did she know? Did she know? Or did she just plan because she was a good mother?
You don't know till you know.
You don't know till you know. So that was my question. So these seven phases of death, she just fly through those in 5 days? Or was it the hours leading up? Was it the night before? And all I guess what I'm saying is that if I can start preparing for... That sounds so horrible. That sounds bad to prepare for my death. That's not what I mean. I mean coming to grips with, I am going to die, and this world is going to go on. And I think that's such a huge problem right now, especially with the current generation, not to sound like an old lady, but with the current generation, that need of not missing out. You know what I mean? Like that need of like they're so unaware of their own mortality because
I think this, you're right. I think this, like from 18 to 25 right now.
Kind of.
They are so locked in on everything.
But couldn't you say that about the people of the 60s and the, you know what I mean?
That's another saying is that the a sign of age is worrying about the declining morality of youth. I mean, it happens with every generation. It's happened since that damn Cain and Abel, if you want to believe all that.
Well, and then that's something else. I don't know, but I think everybody has it. There's a word. I think there's even a, like, I don't know. There's a, like, a Sanskrit word for, like, the fear, maybe the fear of missing out on something, like that fear. I'm going to have to look it up, but there is, that's a genuine, like, and how often you do that. Like, so the four of you are in here in the morning.
Oh, no, I was just joking about this last week, and those three didn't want to talk about it.
Really?
I just blurted out one morning, which one of us you think is going to die first? And, you know, sometimes I'll...
Okay, all I was going to say was, do you ever get nervous when you're going to the bathroom like the three other ones are going to talk about you while you're in the bathroom?
Oh, and you're missing something.
Yeah. Not about which one of you is going to die first.
Yeah.
But, okay, go ahead. Go with that.
No, but they didn't...
Nobody else wanted to talk about it.
Normally, I just try to come up with the dirtiest phrase I can think of before we go back on the air.
Oh, but that's what you said. You just said it before the break. Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah. It's because that's what I was thinking about. But do you start thinking about it when it gets closer?
Mm-hmm.
Do you start trying to justify it and you start the process? When does the process start, I'm okay with what's going to happen and stuff's going to go on without me?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be in an urn or in a box or whatever. When does that start?
I don't know. I know that I went to see our friend, Marilyn Isaacs, way before she was on our podcast. And I have always had, I don't know if it's irrational. I don't know if it is, because I think a lot of people are scared of death. But I had a fear of death. A lot of people do. And I was talking to her about it, and she told me, I have two huge fears. Something's going to happen to my children. Totally normal. I think any mom does. And that I was going to die. But my fear of death was associated with who's going to take care of my children. Like, it wasn't necessarily me not being on this planet anymore. It was more of who's going to take care of my kids. And so...
Well, you know, ultimately, they're going to take care of themselves.
True. Have I provided them with every single opportunity and skill and lesson on this is how you can take care of yourself? And you know what? When you really start thinking about that and you think, my kids are 11 and 9, if something happens to me, who is going to raise my children? That's the scariest part. It's not me dying. It's, oh my God, who is going to shape my children's minds when I'm gone? You know what I mean?
I had no idea this podcast was going to turn out like this.
I know, they're my favorite ones. But Marilyn told me, I don't know how you feel about this, past lives.
Well, that's part of the... That's all that Eastern religion type stuff. I mean, that's...
See, I don't know that much about it.
Reincarnation and...
I don't know that much about it. But she told me that...
Did I last week pick up a moth off my screen door and carry it in my palm out to my deck and let it go?
Did you?
And let it fly away? Yes, I did.
You did?
That could be my dad. I don't know. So, I'm at a point in my life where I'm not going to poo-poo anything. Even Catholicism.
No, I don't... It's. I guess it's...
Because I think kind of, sort of, all of it's, everything's okay. Except if you're...
I don't know. I don't know enough about the reincarnation, because I know being raised... in the United States, as a Midwest Christian, whatever. I wasn't raised that way, but the exposure I had to religion, whatever that is, there was no, like, there's a funeral and you die, and the people here miss you, And that's all that happens.
Well, I think that's kind of true, too, though.
Yeah.
And I think this eternal life thing is that you live on in the hearts of your loved ones. You don't...
You think so?
There isn't a giant golden castle with...
So when my grandma died...
You talking about her keeps her alive. I think that's what that means.
But when she died...
Oh, yes, you have this story.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say story like it's a story. I mean, you have this reporting of the event.
Apparently. But here's the thing. This is where it gets real... So apparently when my grandma died, I told my mother and my aunts that I saw her. I saw her twice. I saw her once in my bedroom, and I saw her once near my swing set. And I... gave information saying, hey, Nana's really upset that somebody cut her hair. Why did somebody cut her hair? She's upset.
And you didn't know she had her hair cut.
I didn't know she had her hair cut. And I don't think that I knew she had died. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the funeral home had told my Aunt Susie, hey, we're going to cut her hair a little bit just so it looks even on both sides when she's laying in the casket. My Aunt Susie didn't tell anybody. She didn't think it was necessary. It's not important. So my mom says, hey, Jessica just said she talked to Nana, and this is what she said. Well, everybody's,
well, okay. not only you didn't know her hair was cut, but she was...
I didn't know she was deceased
passed
either.
Away when you'd got this information.
Right. Like I said, I have no memory. I believe that whatever memory I have of this event is people retelling me this story throughout my childhood. And in my imagination, this is what it looked like. That's right. What I think happened.
Right.
I don't know if that happened. But I'm saying if that's the case, then what happens to you after you die? If you're able to come back and visit and see someone. And that, you know, when Marilyn told me, you're so scared of death because you died young in your previous lives. You know, in a previous life, there was an arranged marriage for a bloodline so that your children would have this bloodline, and then your husband took your children and they sent you away. So your children were ripped from you. So what if, do you think that's true? That's pretty, I don't know.
I don't know how you can say it's true. I don't know how you can say it's absolutely not true.
Right.
That's sadly, or for the better of that's the best you can do.
My Aunt Karen says that she knows what she was in her previous lives. And she is the most God-fearing woman that I know right now. Do you ever get a sense, like, do you think that's deja vu, maybe? Like,
oh, no, I had a dream about Karen about a week ago. It was just a nice...
Yeah?
It was just a nice one of those Sunday dinners.
Oh, yeah?
And we were just, you know, hanging out. And
hanging out.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
But I feel... I have a feeling that I... I hope this sounds funny.
Uh-huh.
I was somehow involved in the Russian space program.
You really think that?
Yeah.
You've always felt like a draw?
I've always felt like that. And early on, because I get a weird feeling, there's a scene in The Right Stuff where they're shooting the rocket off. And
yeah?
It just terrifies me. I can barely watch. But I need to watch. I watch it every now and then just to check in.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I don't know if I was killed in a war in Russia or... I don't know. I don't know how... What's the logistics of being born again? Do you got to stand in line? Do you get a body right away?
I don't know.
That's a tough one.
That is tough.
Oh.
I think, but here's the thing. I think that it's often discounted the ability of our own mind, the ability of our own brain. That, you know.
What is it? How much of our brain do we use?
That we actually use, right.
5%?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly. So this morning, I read somewhere recently that someone said when you go to church, you sing, or when you go to church, you that is you raise your hands in the air, or you get down on your knees and pray, and that is how you worship.
All right.
And when I worship, I go to my yoga mat, and through this physical practice, through these breathing exercises, through this intention, this is how I'm going to worship. So I went into this yoga. I really did. I signed up for yoga teacher training, not to be a teacher. I have no intentions of ever teaching a class.
And it's been longer than 2 weeks, too.
And I did it because somebody said, hey, if you're going to take care of the people around you, you better take care of yourself first. And I thought, okay, here's something where I can exercise my brain and I can exercise my body. And I only have to be gone one day a week, you know? And the last thing I expected was for my relationship with anything higher. I did not expect that to come from this. And I'm not saying I'm there, but I'm saying...
There's something there.
There's something there. I'm open to it. I'm realizing it. And it's not that I feel like I need to worship the guy with the white beard. It's that I feel like the guy with the beard is an ally. He's not the enemy.
For you to say that, from what I know about you.
Yeah.
And there might be a couple other people that know you better than I do, but I'll take a test.
But you know, it's
huge.
It is huge. It's not this guy on a pedestal or on a cloud that I have to look up to, and he's looking down on me like that. Like the whole visual component of religion, and that he's looking down on you, like you are less than me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, for some reason, in my mind or in my mind's eye, he's right behind me on my right, and I can just kind of like I have this. Out of the corner of my eye, like, hey, I got your back. We're cool. You know, it's fine. Just don't worry about it.
Everything's fine.
Yeah. Like, kind of that. And it might, maybe it'll turn into something else. But right now.
You know, everything is.
Right now, God's not a dick anymore.
My God, that's huge.
Yeah. And I haven't had some huge...
epiphany, is yes. life-changing.
Yes. That no. It took a little bit of work.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to.
Yeah.
A burning bush or whatever.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. No. 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 No huge. No voice. No thunderbolt. No.
I've only recently found in the past 10 days that there's a big difference between loneliness and solitude. Solitude. It's just a redefining of terms for me.
Sure.
You know, lonely sounds...
sounds terrible.
Oh, my God. Solitude. Superman had a fortress of solitude.
He did.
He went up there to take some time.
Yeah.
Superman.
Yeah.
Boy, I watched that movie. The latest Man of Steel movie.
I realized
he doesn't even go... He doesn't work for the newspaper.
Mm-mm.
He knows Lois.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells Lois right away who he is. And then it's like this dark, dreary, depressing, even the look of the movie is. But you know who the bad guy is?
Who's the bad guy?
In Man of Steel, I think that's the name of it. The guy from Boardwalk Empire who played the crazy FBI agent. We always thought he was going to be crazy. He made that. He had a baby with that girl that wasn't his wife. He was very religious.
Yes.
Yeah. And we just stopped watching it when you were in the kitchen yelling at, I can't watch it anymore. When your favorite guy came out, Bobby Cannavale.
Love him.
Started to be on it.
Love him.
Stopped watching it. But that guy is General Zod, the evil guy from Krypton.
He would be a good
and
scary bad guy.
Great.
Yeah.
He's the best part of the movie.
Okay. You remember, speaking of things from Boardwalk Empire, the... the gopher guy with the high pitched voice, and he was always like, "Yeah, that's what we're gonna do." Yeah,
he's in House of Cards.
I know.
He know it.
He's the author. Yeah, I saw him, and I was like,
"I know."
Yeah.
Have you watched all the episodes?
No, I haven't. Have you been watching Scandal?
I think I'm two episodes behind. One episode behind.
You can get caught up real quick.
I need to get caught up real quick.
Yeah.
I kind of sort of stopped watching it. When, not that I didn't feel his struggle, but the lawn chair episode, that was kind of...
Yeah, it was a regrouping after all the... Like, right. I was glad to see something different.
I was glad to see that running down the hallway with the crazy hair.
Yeah, the advocate...
All she needed was a shower, and it went right back to the...
Which, that's not how that works.
Beautiful hair.
Somebody
tweeted me and said, well, they can't watch Scandal now without me, when I said... Don't you think that, what's her name, who plays Olivia Pope?
Olivia Pope?
Yeah.
Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington. She looks like rain's hitting her in the face when she's acting. She does that thing with her eyes.
Oh, I've never noticed that.
It's just kind of that blinky thing she does.
Oh, and she always looks like she's about to cry.
Yeah, you're the one who told me about it, and I started recognizing it. It looks like she's that rain that every now. Oh, is it raining?
This is so terrible, but there's a Friends episode that my kids and I watched recently, and Joey is talking about how one of the girls on the soap opera has taught him some really good acting tricks.
Right.
And he's like, and she taught me smell the fart act. Like, that's how, and smell the fart acting. And everybody's
right.
Like, what? And he's like, when you don't have time to remember your lines, you just kind of make it look like you just smelled a fart.
that's
what she does a lot.
Yeah,
I think she took
maybe
I think she watched that episode of Friends.
She's right in there in that age group then, when she would have been watching Friends.
That's possible. Are we the same age? You think she and I are the same age?
I think so. Pretty
35,
close.
Yeah, probably
around there. 35, 40. You know, that's that age.
I'm 33.
40, 45.
No.
And you know who else was 33?
Janis Joplin.
And Jesus.
Jesus, they're all kinds. Kurt Cobain. No, that's 27. Those people are 27, 28. How old are they? Maybe we should read them.
Yeah? I'm ready.
Well, we're all going to hell. I hope you're happy. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I, for one, can't wait to see your tweets. I'm Buddhist. Kiss my ass. There you go. That should be a...
I don't think he teaches that.
Shouldn't that be a... Don't worry, baby, I'll figure out something. Okay. Thank you for downloading the Off the Air podcast. Thank you, Jess.
Thank you. I mean, you're welcome. What?
It's all right, cause I love you, baby. It's all right, cause I love you, baby. It's all right, cause I love you, baby. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's roll. It's all right, cause I love you, baby. It's all right, cause I love you, girl. It's all right, cause I love you, baby. You ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? Let's roll. Took up on the sunset strip, straight cold from the north, flip it, cigarette, no joke when the shit lit. Crazy Schwarzenegger movie, crib keeper shit. Got the new ghost to sweat out the heat, sick up, tuck tail.